Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's broadcast. I'm happy that you're able to join in and tune into this episode, which is episode 45, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we, as individuals, must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And this morning, we welcome you again to study with us and engage in the Word with us this morning. Whether you're listening live or on a previously recorded message or episode, rather, make sure to have your Bible and a pen and paper ready for today's study. But before we get started, I'd like to ask Rabbi if you would do us the honor of opening us up in prayer and praying for this today's message.
Amen. Yes, sir. Father, right now, thank you for this moment in time. Thank you for this particular time that we have to praise you, to worship you, to give glory to you, to honor you, to ask forgiveness, to give petitions to you. I thank you that you are the Yah in whom we trust and put all of our confidence. So with that, Father, I ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. I ask you to give me the strength, the understanding, and the purpose to revitalize the purpose by forgiving others. I thank you that you bless us and give us the strength to be blessed all the way through the third and the fourth generation of our forefathers on both sides. I thank you that within the understanding of your purpose and your will for us, we are freed from sin, iniquity, and transgression. We're freed from the turmoil of the problems of this world. We are free in you, not in ourselves and not in others. But we're free when we put all of our focus, all of our trust and confidence in you. So we choose, we make a quality decision right now to do that very thing, to put our confidence, our trust, our faith in you. We choose not to be swayed to the left or to the right by what we see, or even what we hear, or even what we feel. But we put our faith, our trust in you. And Father, as you begin to start this broadcast and as you begin to come in and allow your spiritual rock to come in and just come rush out over us and over those that are listening, flood us with your purpose. In your love, so that we can continue to manifest the fullness of what you desire today. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'll pass it back to you, Pastor Andre.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. We're going to go ahead and go to our before Torah study blessing, which of course we do before we engage in the study of the Word, and we are thankful for Pastor Doug and his contribution here. So we'll go to Pastor Doug's Torah study blessing.
Ruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam asher kishanu b'mitzvotav itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. This morning, as we do our recap, just wanted to remind everyone, of course, the nature of this conversation that we have every week is about the perilous times. And more specifically, we brought up a phrase that we want to highlight just for a moment here, but bringing to light the idea of preparing for the coming judgment. Now, as we enter perilous times, we wanted to make sure that we had a timeline, of course, in which we've gone over in successive weeks. But are we prepared for coming events is what we're looking at. We looked at Revelations chapter 12, verse 17, and we talked about how the bride is the primary target of the Antichrist. Now, when we talk about the bride, when we're having this conversation, we need to be very clear. We're talking about those who keep the commandments of God and their testimony in Jesus Christ. We're not talking about the church at large. There are varying degrees of individuals at different levels in different places. We've heard us talk about inside of the assembly, there are people that come to a church who may still be exiting a heathen lifestyle. We have those who are at a servant level, where maybe they're just following the commands of God, not just following the commands of God, they're kind of learning things but not doing them. And then we have those who know what they're supposed to do, but they haven't fully committed to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and following God's commands. But the bride is the one who is keeping the commandments of God and their testimony in Jesus Christ, and having been baptized in his name in the water. And so we need to make clear that the events that are happening, the primary target is the bride of Messiah. Now, we talked about also there being promises for today. What are the promises for today? We talked about Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And we talked about the wall of fire that is available to us now, the wall that encompasses and surrounds the people of God. Now, we know that this verse primarily was talking about a future time, but it's accessible now in those, or for those, who are, again, connected to Yah and abiding in him and walking as a bride before him, preparing herself. The scripture speaks of the bride who has made herself ready and has kept her garment clean. This is the goal, this is the promise for the bride. A wall of fire encamped all around on every side. Now, we talked about, as I just mentioned, the secret place. We need to yield to God, for he himself will protect us and hide us in the secret place. It's so important that we make a beaten path to that secret place, to know Yah, and to have that, as Rabbi said, the backside of the mountain experience with him, so that we know who he is and what he will do for us. Because Yah desires to step in for us when we need him the most. So I encourage you, if you haven't done so yet, make reading of Psalms 91 a habitual part of your life and your week. We need to also have a corporate understanding of the power of knowing Yah as a group. And Rabbi, you did an excellent job of bringing the analogy of the interlocking shields and how those shields in ancient warfare, when they would interlock, they helped provide a defensive mechanism against fiery darts. Now, shields could be used in different ways, but this one was the most interesting, where they would lock them together, and together there's a shield all around about. Now, another thing that's interesting, we talked about the love of God and how important the love of God is according to his definition of love. And we went to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, where it says, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. One of the biggest criteria for the love of God is covenantal loyalty, faithfulness to his commands. And our love must be exercised regularly with Yah. And so now we're seeing that there is something that we can do. As we're preparing in these perilous times, we have to be active and engaging, not passive. If we put our confidence and trust in building a relationship with Yah, whatever may seem disturbing or horrific, Yah can quickly change. And Rabbi, you brought out an excellent point that he will either change your situation or change your perspective of the situation. We also brought up hope last week. Rabbi, you brought up hope in a way that has stuck with me throughout this whole week. Without hope, you can't believe. Without hope, you can't exhibit the faith that you need. So we have to have hope. We have to hope in the Father's ability and his word that it will accomplish what he said it would do. And lastly, my last bullet point for this recap today is this question that we left you with last week. Are we qualifying ourselves as part of the remnant by our daily actions, or are we disqualifying ourselves as part of the remnant? It is imperative that we understand each day that when we wake up, it is a qualification process, and we must show that we love him, not in word, but in deed. It'd be better to show him through our actions than through words only. And so we need to ask this question: are we qualifying ourselves today to be a part of the remnant. Rabbi, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Amen, amen. And with that statement, there's two passages of Scripture that early this morning, as I was spending quality time with Yah, he began to perplex me a bit with the first passage, and then began to console me with the second passage. And the problem that I was having with the first passage was it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you know, most can quote, or at least they have the full concept of the principalities and powers and rules of darkness and the fact that, you know, we don't struggle, we don't fight against flesh and blood. And, you know, that's fine. That's so correct. But there was a problem that the Father was posing to me based upon my perception of that passage of Scripture and the way I had been taught previous. And it deals with the word wrestle or wrestle. You know, my wife says that my southern draw comes out when I say that word. I mean, my California upbringing is mainly heard, and then all of a sudden I come to wrestle, and instead of saying wrestle, I'll say wrestle. But anyway, that's the word for the day. Because in the passage of Scripture, you quickly get the mindset and the understanding that you're in a war and a battle and a struggle with this demonic realm. And so you fixate your mind, you fixate your mind, your will, and emotions to deal with that particular struggle. Because that is what has been taught in the church for the most part. And the Father just began to question me pertaining to that word. And in doing so, I was perplexed because I realized, you know, he was trying to teach me something. He was trying to expose something within me that really was not correct. It wasn't accurate when it came to the application of this Scripture. So before I go too far, I'm going to digress and allow Pastor Andre to read it both in the King James and in the Amplified. And then we're going to readdress this term and understanding of that word and how it applies to us as believers. Pastor Andre.
All right, thank you. And for those of you just joining us, we're going to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I'll be reading from King James first and then from the Amplified. And it says this: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now for the Amplified. "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere." Excuse me. In the heavenly supernatural sphere. Rabbi.
Okay. All right. So, Pastor Andre, I'm just going to pass it to you for a little bit to give me your take and your upbringing as far as Christian teaching pertaining to that passage, if you would, please.
Sure. It's funny sometimes until you ask that question, like, what was I first taught? I think my understanding was, wow, we would say we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but then the question of how are we really engaging with these principalities against the power of darkness? We understood, I had an understanding that, yes, there were different levels of demonic action taking place in the world. I wasn't sure how to determine what their levels were. But I knew that there was spiritual warfare. I grew up with my parents at least demonstrating an understanding of spiritual warfare. Now, whether or not we walked in complete understanding, that's for sure. We did not. We didn't know how we were to engage in some ways. But I was aware of a spiritual battle. But was this made completely clear to me? No. You know, I think you still find yourself wrestling with flesh and having to learn how to separate. I didn't learn the aspect of separation, quote unquote, until much later, especially when dealing with other individuals. When I mean separation, it's like separating, knowing that the actions that are taking place are not them, but being influenced by spirits or powers. So it was probably not a very clear upbringing in it, but the different parts became clear as I became older, if that makes any sense.
No, it definitely does. You know, because in my upbringing, you know, we were taught to do battle with, especially in the charismatic church early in my Christian walk, we were taught to do battle with Satan and to cast him out and just to go through, I hate to use the word rituals, but principles, let's say.
Okay.
Demonology principles. And the Father began to speak to me early this morning about all of that. And begin to question my resolve, as well as my formal teaching pertaining to it. Because he had me go to 1 Timothy, and we're going to go there. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And it was interesting that 1 Timothy is chapter 6, verse 12, and Ephesians is chapter 6, verse 12. And what he was showing me in that particular passage was that we have taken Paul's teaching pertaining to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 in the wrong direction. And whereas we were supposed to continue to go on our GPS directly straight, we've taken it to the right or to the left. Whereas when he is mentoring the bishop, Timothy, because Timothy became a bishop afterwards of the church, he begins to actually pinpoint for Timothy what the fight is really about. I'm going to say that again. He began to pinpoint for Timothy what this fight is really about. The word wrestle or wrestle in Ephesians talks about, when you look it up in the Strong, it begins to give you an understanding of a organized bout, you know, be it a boxing bout or a physical altercation with another individual, but it's organized. In other words, it is scheduled for this event to happen. Okay? And what the Father was saying to me is, who said that this fight was scheduled for Satan? Who said that? And as I began to ponder it, I began to think about it, I'm thinking, well, I was taught that, but when you go back even further, there's no, absolutely no biblical reference that says that we must be fighting against Satan. Now, I'm not saying, let me retract here for a second. I'm not saying that we don't have a fight with him. And I'm definitely not saying that we get on his side or as far as going against God. But the secret to what God was saying to me to share with you is the same secret that Paul received, understood through his life lesson that he was sharing with Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Maybe you can read that in the King James and also in the Amplified.
Absolutely.
This is a serious revelation.
Okay, for those of you turning, we're again 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and this is what it says here in the King James. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And the Amplified. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confessed the good confession of faith before many witnesses.
Pastor Andre, what the Father was telling me is during these perilous times, my fight is not against the adversary. My fight is for faithfulness to God. That's the struggle. That's the battle. Not that there's not a battle or a struggle with Satan, but Satan desires, Pastor Andre, Satan desires for you to battle with him. He places himself in the way each day so that you will battle with him, instead of battling to be faithful. And the Father began to share with me, because you had kind of helped my wife in the sense of her wanting me to look at Pilgrim's Progress, and she knew where my mindset was. And so it took a while, and she was very strategic, that woman of mine. She was very strategic in building up to, you know, asking me, could we watch this together, you know? And one of the main things, there were so many epiphanies, but one of the main epiphanies that the Father brought back to my mind this morning is that Christian, Christian, still had some things that he had to deal with on his journey. But faithful had already arrived. I'm going to say that again. Faithful had already arrived. Therefore, they left him as a martyr. They killed him. But they didn't kill Christian. They were about to, but he was loose to finish his journey. But Faithful's journey had already been culminated. It had already been finished. Because he fought the good fight of faith. Now, when we go back and we look at what Paul was saying to Timothy, just opposed to what he was saying to the Ephesian congregation, Messianic congregation in Ephesus. You begin to see, I pray, that we have been unfortunately derailed from the truth of what the fight is about and who is the focus or what is the focus of that fight. What the Father began to tell me is when you find yourself battling Satan on a regular basis, it's because the areas of your flesh have not been crucified that day. When you find yourself battling Satan, it's because, now this is a hard word, it's because you have allowed the fleshly part of you to not be crucified. And as he was sharing it, I'm like, Father, I've got to get reference. You know, you've got to give me some reference. And he began to give me reference. Yeshua, 40 days of fasting. During that fasting, Satan was nowhere to be found. But it wasn't until after the fast, when Yeshua had finished, that Satan found an opportune time. When you and I are dealing with this fleshly man, that's not an opportune time for Satan to come. Because you're already in getting yourself empowered in God. You're already expecting him to come. But when you look at Daniel had such a ritual, if you will, of praying three times a day. And those three times a day, he was dealing with his flesh. He was even dealing with the fleshly sins of his forefathers. To the point to where when the adversary thought that he had an opportune time, it turned out that not only did he not have an opportune time, but it became a glorious time of God. Because Daniel never flinched in the spirit. He never cried out to God, why is this happening to me? The fleshly things that would manifest at that time, they were dead. He wasn't even angry at his subordinates. He didn't show any anger. The old man was dead. And the fight that he was fighting was not against flesh and blood and not against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and high places. He was not fighting against them. He was submitting to God. So when we look at James chapter 4 and verse 7, which we're going to go there, this gives a new spin or a prayerfully an illuminated understanding of what James chapter 4, verse 7 really is saying. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. King James verse, it says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. For the Amplified, so be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you.
Now, somebody would say, well, that's where the wrestling is. That's where the fight is. That's a part of the fight. But this is not what Paul was talking about with the Ephesians. He was talking about, I want to say, a brutal confrontation with all of these different demonic realms. Whereas in this particular passage that James is talking about, He's talking about the way Yeshua dealt with Satan. Now, the way Yeshua dealt with Satan, the key there, and we know this, because Yeshua says it, Jesus says it himself. He said, you know, the reason why the power and the anointing and the reason why the adversary has to leave at Yeshua's beck and call is because there is nothing of this world inside of him, inside of Yeshua, inside of Jesus. There's no worldliness whatsoever. There's no sin, iniquity, or transgression that has a foothold or a toehold, if you will, on him. Therefore, he was totally submitted to God in every aspect, in every area. Every day, he dealt with the old man. Every day, he renewed the new man. The new man will not fight from a standpoint of struggle. Okay, key word is struggle here with the adversary. There's nowhere in Scripture where you can see where Jesus had a struggle against the adversary. It wasn't even a fight. It literally was not I would not call it a fight at all, Pastor Andre, for the simple fact that it was by his word the devil was defeated. But the struggle, the true opponent, if you will, was Yeshua's desire and will and emotion, his own soul's desire to live and not die. Scripture says that it was such a struggle, such a battle, that he perspired blood, which means you have to be at the highest level of intensity for something like that to happen, scientists say, and the medical profession says. It is definitely plausible. But you have to be at the highest level of intensity in order for you to do that, for your body to follow suit with what your mind and will are going through. He never, ever did that or had any inkling of a battle like that with Satan. Never did. Because the new man was the one that was always dealing with Satan. There was never a time where Jesus allowed the old man to live long enough to try to battle Satan. Now, Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass to you to get your thoughts on this. Because I'll tell you, this was some type of emotional, you know, spiritual set up, and I felt like I was set back in a sense. But then when I came to my senses spiritually, as God was giving to me, was dealing with me with this, I began to realize that he was setting me up for victory by teaching me how to do it properly. Go ahead, sir.
This has been very, very eye-opening, and I think if I could, summarize it for what I'm feeling and sensing, it's the opponent that we're dealing with, or who we've been focusing on with Ephesians chapter 6, was misplaced. The battle really is keeping our ground, and it says it in other places, you know, having done all, stand firm. But when we get to Ephesians 6, we think that there's a war that we have to go in and take territory with, when really we're protecting the territory that God has placed within our own selves, and our mind, our will, and our emotions. And in this last perilous days, these last days, perilous times, that is becoming more and more of the fight, because in a sense, Yah has already dictated the battle of the end of the age. He's already dictated. In fact, we can read it in Scripture. But the battle that has the the determining factors that still need to be played out are for each and every one of our own souls, and how we protect and defend, how we pursue Yah over pursuing the enemy, if that makes any sense. That's why I think, if I could put it in one sentence, it's this battle is about pursuing Yah and not pursuing the enemy. When I say pursuing the enemy, of course, conjuring the idea of the war in that regard. But the war really is, as it says in Proverbs, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous accelerate, run to it, and are saved. That's where we need to be running to, is that strong tower, and fighting the fight to get there, to withstand the darts that are trying to get us before we get there. But it's really, it's a different fight. I totally see what you're saying. It's a totally different fight than what we're used to looking at.
Amen. And oftentimes, the adversary uses the fiery darts of self. He appeases to our self-desires, our self-needs. James even says that about the fact that we're drawn away of our own lust or enticed. We're enticed. In other words, Satan cannot do anything to us that we don't allow him to do. Now, that's a mouthful. I understand. Trust me. I'm walking this walk with you, with all of you that are listening. But the thing of it is it, at least it helps me to get the perspective right. Because as I begin to get the perspective right, then I can begin to talk right. And as I talk right, then I can begin to process properly or process it right. And as I process it right, then my mind, will, and emotion will begin to receive it right and give the right results. Yes, it is a process. But we've got to understand it's never really been about Satan. Clear illustration. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, where was Satan? Pastor Andre?
He was in the garden too.
In the garden with them. Did it cause a problem? No. It never caused a problem until the question was posed to Eve, who had wrong information. So up until the wrong information, the adversary, who was right in the garden with him, could do nothing.
That's good.
He could do nothing. He was not even discussed in the relationship with God and man. As a matter of fact, God would come in the cool of the evening and spend time with Adam. And the adversary was, you know, in that vicinity. But it never posed a problem. Have you ever thought about that?
It's hitting me in a much different way, thinking that the whole time, going back to what you were referencing from Yeshua's fast, he was looking for an opportune time to get, like you mentioned, the toehold. But that is profound. He was there the whole time, but there was no way he could attack them from without.
Exactly. Because the attack and the battle is from within. The attack and the battle is from within. But if we're taught that it's an external spiritual battle, not that there isn't things happening in the spirit realm. Daniel, you know, Gabriel could not even come to Daniel for 21 days. The very day that Daniel asked for the answer, the answer was given in heaven, and it took 21 days to get to Daniel. So there is definitely a spiritual battle happening. I get that. But we need to understand that in our relationship with Yah, it is a non-issue. It perplexes me sometimes. I'm just like, wow. God knew that Satan was in the garden and never had that discussion with Adam. Out of all of the discussions that they had, he never had that talk. You know, with our children, as they begin to mature and the hormones begin to cause them to mature, we had that talk. You understand what I'm saying? To protect them and to keep them. And now, don't get me wrong, I am not in any way, shape, form, or fashion saying that God did anything wrong. On the contrary, what I'm saying is God was so with them and them with God that they were never ashamed nor fear come near their dwelling. As a matter of fact, they had no idea that they were naked because the glory of God covered them that much. So if anything, I'm saying the way that the father handled it, the parent, the father, the way he handled that particular situation was the holy way, the righteous way. And we need to understand that from this passage of Scripture. Well, we're out of time, but I'm going to pass it to Pastor Andre to give his last thoughts and then, of course, to give you information about us if you're so interested.
Absolutely. And Rabbi, that one thing you just left me with, this is how I would summarize that. It's we have to focus on the right fight, and the enemy is wanting us to focus on him. But we need to focus on our faithfulness to Yah. Folks, I hope you have really been able to grasp the main points from today's discussion. What is the focus of our fight? And how are we supposed to engage in this last time, these last days? Again, we want to make sure that you go back and review everything that we've discussed. Go back and search the scriptures as Bereans, and to see if these things are true. Of course, you've been listening to These Be Perilous Times, and we're glad that you've taken time to study with us. We have this broadcast every Thursday morning, so please feel free to continue to study, go back and look at our archives, and continue to move forward in these times and make sure that you protect yourself, as we discussed today, by not focusing on the wrong fight. If you have any questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, email us at office@bethhashem.org, or you can find out more about us by visiting our website, which is bethhashem.org, and that's BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find us on Facebook if you'd prefer that method. It's facebook.com/ Beth Hashem Ministries, and that's all one word, lowercase, Beth Hashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies. You can see our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. If you'd like to contribute to this ministry and help promote its growth, you can do so via Cash App. We have an account that allows you to make donations free of charge to us and to you. So that is a blessing. So cash.app/$BethHashem. Or if you prefer, you can email. I always say that right in the wrong place. You can mail a donation. One day, I guess you can email donations, but today you cannot. You can mail a donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And for those of you who have participated, prayed for, and given to this ministry, we thank you very much. At this time, we are going to go to our after Torah study blessing with Pastor Doug, and then we'll go to the Aaronic benediction as a blessing for today, and then we'll have Rabbi close us with prayer. So at this time, we'll have the after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet, Bahaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yahuwah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. At this time, we'll recite the Aaronic benediction. So, in your various places, wherever you may be at this time, if you receive this blessing, just say amen for yourself, which means so let it be in Hebrew, but for yourself and for your family, in Yahushua's name. Yivarecha Yahuwah Mishmerecha Yair Yahuwah Panavelecha Vichunecha Yisai Yahuwah Panavelecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for understanding and giving us a better understanding of the importance of ensuring that the old man dies daily and knowing that the new man is renewed daily. Renew to us your right spirit and allow that contrite heart that King David talked about to be ever present in us. And I thank you, Father God, for that. I thank you for understanding how the peace of God that passes all of the carnal understanding can manifest in me and how to utilize it by fighting that good fight of faith. Faithfulness to your word, to our relationship, and not the selfish desires or being enticed. We thank you, and I thank you, Father God, that you are kindling a spiritual fire that will consume all of our enemies round about. We glorify you for that. In Yahushua's name, we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, shalom.